If you will turn to page 859 for responsive reading of Psalm number 147, which continues on page 860. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. A song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers the outcasts of Israel. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power, whose understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody upon the lyre to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow upon the hills. The Lord gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry. The Lord takes no delight in the might of a horse, nor the pleasure in the strength of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in the faithful, in those who hope in the Lord's steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. The Lord strengthens the bars of your gates, blesses your children in your midst, makes peace in your borders, fills you with the finest wheat. The Lord sends forth commands to the earth. The word runs swiftly. The Lord gives snow like wool, scatters hoarfrost like ashes. Cast forth ice as merciless, who can withstand its cold? The Lord sends forth the word and melts them, makes the wind blow and the waters flow. The Lord declares the word to Jacob, the statutes and ordinance to Israel. The Lord has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know God's ordinances. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 31. If you'd like to follow along, and you know I always encourage you to do that, you'll find this reading on page 628 in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible. Hear these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when He blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because He is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 16 through 23 can be found on page 161 of your New Testament Pew Bible. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, For an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39, in the Pew Bible on page 33 of the New Testament. And I'm hoping that you're noticing, but we're following right through Mark through the stories about the beginning of Jesus' adult ministry. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for all of God's people. Thanks be to God. Let me put an image in your mind, an image that I hope your memory will construct, because I'm hoping that you've had the same experience that I've had. Have you ever been out walking or driving, and then you looked up into the sky to see a mature bald eagle soaring overhead? That has happened with wonderful regularity in my life, especially now that we live in Aurora. If you've had this experience, and I could tell by some of you nodding, then maybe your memory looks just like the image on the cover of this week's bulletin. That was my goal. Well, often when Jane and Zach and I are out walking at Cherry Creek State Park, we'll see a bald eagle. Recently, when I've been walking in our neighborhood, in fact, one morning I was out alone and I looked up to see two bald eagles soaring overhead. I'm thinking they came from Cherry Creek. But that is truly a majestic sight that can stop you. It certainly stops me in my tracks. The wingspan of a mature bald eagle can be up to 8 feet across. That's 2 feet farther than what I'm holding out right here. With that bright white head and that white fan of tail feathers, it's hard to mistake a bald eagle. When I see one of these gorgeous birds, I usually stop dead still, my mouth drops open, and I stare at the sky, mesmerized by the beauty and majesty above. It is as if time stands still. I am completely focused on that magnificent bird, and it feels as though for that fleeting moment, nothing else matters. Let me share with you the words of a poem that captures what I feel when I watch a bald eagle. It's called The Eagle and the Hawk. I am the eagle. I live in high country, in rocky cathedrals that reach to the sky. I am the hawk, and there's blood on my feathers. But time is still turning. They soon will be dry. And all those who see me and all who believe in me share in the freedom I feel when I fly. Come dance with the west wind and touch on the mountaintops. Sail o'er the canyons and up to the stars. And reach for the heavens and hope for the future. All that we can be and not just what we are. Many of you recognize that as a song by John Denver, written also by Mike Taylor. But I want you to keep that image of an eagle in your mind as we think about some of the other scripture lessons from today. In the gospel passage from Mark, we've been following right along Sunday after Sunday with the story of Jesus' adult ministry, as I mentioned earlier. So much of what we know about Jesus revolves around the authority with which he teaches and preaches in the synagogue, and also around the many healings and miracles that he performs. But an important element of his ministry that we often overlook is the time that Jesus spends alone and in prayer. When you pay attention to the Bible, you'll discover that Jesus spends a lot of time off by himself. After Jesus had brought Simon's mother-in-law back to health, he was inundated with people who needed him. That evening at sundown, Scripture tells us, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Many times we read after Jesus had these marathon sessions of healings and miracles, he needed time to regroup and recharge with prayer and reflection. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Well, it turns out that this deserted place means literally a wilderness place. As you may have heard me say on several occasions, I also like to get up in the very early morning and go out walking. Just like Jesus, I find that this is the perfect time to be in thought, to be in prayer. Many of us also enjoy going out into wilderness places like Rocky Mountain National Park or closer to home to Cherry Creek State Park to be nearer to God's creation and nearer to God. Well, the point of this to Christians, and especially to those on the path of discipleship, is the important lesson of solitude and prayer. There is a big difference between being alone and being lonely. Enjoying solitude is to find peace and joy, being alone with God in prayer and contemplation. Now, this may take practice for some of you, but it will greatly benefit your spirituality to find happiness and meaning in solitude. Do you remember that feeling when you look up into the sky and you watch stock still and absolutely mesmerized as a bald eagle soars overhead? That is the focused feeling of being in solitude and in prayer. It is then that you are ready to hear and to fully listen to God's word. It is in this solitude that you are ready to bask in God's glorious creation, and you can focus on your praise of the Lord. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My sisters and brothers, it doesn't matter if you are old or if you are young or any age in between. This is the hope that we have in God. This is the hope that we share in God's steadfast love.
Amen.